Imagine an artificial intelligence company reaching a near trillion-dollar valuation, not because it built the absolute smartest, flashiest model out there, but because it's literally the only one brave enough to look at a user and just say, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a completely counterintuitive strategy.
Right. But welcome to today's deep dive. Today is Friday, May 29th, 2026. And if you follow the tech industry at all, you know we're waking up to a landscape that has been just fundamentally rearranged overnight.
It really is one of those rare inflection points. I mean, we aren't just looking at isolated press releases here. We're looking at this live stress test of how different corporate philosophies actually survive contact with reality.
Exactly.
Over the last 24 hours, the market has sent a crystal-clear message about what it actually values.
And our mission for this deep dive is to cut through all the sheer noise of this massive news cycle for you. We're pulling from a huge stack of sources today, like financial filings, leaked schematics, cybersecurity manifests, even aerospace telemetry, just to extract the ultimate insights.
Yeah, we've got a lot of ground to cover.
We do. We are going to look at how adaptation, culture, and strategy are dictating who is winning and losing in real time. We've got an AI race crowning a brand new king, Apple suffering a massive leak that redefines the iPhone, a cybersecurity standoff that is rocking Microsoft, and a $2.5 billion fireball in the commercial space race.
It's wild. And it really all comes down to the friction between legacy bureaucracy and agile hyperspecialization.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with the sheer scale of the shift in the AI sector. Because as of Thursday evening, Anthropic has officially leapfrogged OpenAI.
Which is huge.
Massive. They closed a $65 billion Series H funding round. And the post-money valuation is what you really need to absorb here. It's $965 billion.
Just knocking on the door of a trillion.
Right. That pushes them past OpenAI's current $852 billion.
To put that $965 billion in perspective for you, you're looking at a private tech company whose valuation now actually rivals the entire gross domestic product of Switzerland.
Oh.
Yeah, it surpasses the entire annual United States defense budget. But, the true story is the velocity of that capital. Back in February this year, just 3 months ago, Anthropic was valued at $380 billion.
That's insane growth.
It is. They have grown 2.5 times in under 100 days. And the consensus across the financial sources we're tracking points to a late 2026, maybe early 2027 IPO entering the market at over $1.2 trillion.
But the valuation is really just a symptom, right? The actual cause is the product they launched alongside this funding, Claude Opus 4.8.
Yeah, the new model.
And its defining feature is honesty. The documentation shows it is actually 4 times less likely to hide coding errors. So instead of confidently hallucinating like a fake legal precedent or a fake Python script when it hits the limits of its training data, it just declares uncertainty.
It just stops.
Exactly. It stops and admits it doesn't know.
What's fascinating here is how this represents a fundamental maturation in how we train large language models. For years, the industry relied heavily on RLHF, reinforcement learning from human feedback.
Right, getting humans to rate the answers.
Exactly. And humans naturally tend to reward AI that sounds confident, coherent, and helpful, even if the underlying facts are completely fabricated. We like sounding smart. But Anthropic essentially went in and structurally altered the model's loss function.
How so?
They mathematically penalized the AI far more severely for confidently asserting a falsehood than for just outputting insufficient context.
So they essentially reweighted the model's psychology.
Basically, yeah.
It makes me think of this analogy, like looking at their broader market strategies, OpenAI is acting like your classic Silicon Valley move fast and break things startup.
Oh, definitely.
They're throwing massive compute at consumer-friendly artificial general intelligence, just hoping the raw power solves the edge cases later on. But Anthropic is acting like a measure twice, cut once defense contractor.
That's a great way to put it.
They are hyper-focused on safety, long-term stability, and building a system that a highly regulated industry can actually deploy without getting sued into oblivion.
And that structural shift is exactly why the momentum flipped. You cannot deploy a hallucinating AI into a hospital network or a law firm or a Wall Street trading floor.
No, absolutely not.
Right. Because a confident lie from an AI generating a bedtime story is a funny glitch. A confident lie from an AI parsing a corporate merger costs billions of dollars. By solving that enterprise trust problem at the foundational model level, Anthropic secured the Fortune 500.
And the numbers reflect that. They currently hold about 180 Fortune 500 contracts to OpenAI's 220, I think.
Yeah, but the capital markets are clearly projecting who actually owns the future of enterprise software here.
Which opens up a whole different dimension of the enterprise AI conversation today, because we see Anthropic winning by focusing on enterprise safety and trust. But there is another company making huge waves today by addressing the actual brutal reality of what that trust costs.
Yes, Queen.
We need to talk about Glean because they are proving you do not need a $1 trillion valuation to beat the legacy giants at their own game.
Glean has quietly become probably the most vital piece of middleware in the corporate world. They just reported $300 million in annual recurring revenue.
Wow.
Yeah, which is a tripling of their growth in just 15 months, landing them a $7.2 billion valuation. And they do internal cross-platform enterprise search driven by AI.
But I'm going to push back on this premise for a second. Put yourself in the shoes of a Fortune 500 CFO.
Yeah.
You are already locked into long-term contracts. You are paying Microsoft for Microsoft 365 Copilot, or you are paying Google for Workspace AI.
Very true.
Those tools are already baked into your email and your documents. So why on earth would you approve an additional $25 to $40 a month per single user for a startup just to do search?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it comes down to the raw physics of cloud computing.
Okay, break that down for me.
Running a massive large language model on every single internal search query, like, say, asking it to find a specific clause in an HR PDF from 3 years ago, that requires millions of compute tokens. It is incredibly slow and financially unsustainable at scale.
Right.
So Glean doesn't just throw raw compute at the problem. They built a proprietary architecture they call the context graph.
Right. And the mechanics of that context graph are just brilliant. Instead of making the AI read the whole library every time you ask a question, the context graph uses vector embeddings to map out the semantic relationships of all a company's data beforehand.
It's all pre-processed.
Exactly. It acts like an ultra-efficient librarian. When you ask a question, it instantly retrieves only the exact paragraphs relevant to your query, and it feeds just that tiny snippet of text to the language model to generate the answer.
Which fundamentally changes the economics of enterprise AI. By filtering the data through that vector database first, Glean slashes the actual computational cost by up to 70%.
That is massive.
It is. The language model isn't doing the heavy lifting of searching anymore. It's only doing the final formatting. And as a result, the performance metrics are entirely lopsided.
In Glean's favor.
Very much so. Glean is returning answers in under 2 seconds with a 92% accuracy rate. Meanwhile, Microsoft 365 Copilot and Google Workspace, which rely heavily on their monolithic architectures, they're hovering around 83 to 85% accuracy.
And taking longer, right?
Yeah, taking up to 6 seconds to generate a response.
When you scale a 4-second delay and a 10% drop in accuracy across, you know, tens of thousands of employees running dozens of searches a day, the loss in human productivity completely dwarfs that $30 a month subscription fee.
Exactly.
It's a profound lesson in tech strategy. You do not need to build artificial general intelligence to build a multi-billion dollar company. You just need to find one highly painful friction point like enterprise data retrieval and solve the underlying mechanics better than the monopolies can.
And that perfectly sets the stage for the broader dynamic playing out across the industry right now. You have these agile entities like Anthropic Refining Trust, Glean Optimizing Retrieval, and they are applying immense structural pressure to legacy tech ecosystems.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because we have source material today showing how two of those legacy giants, Apple and Microsoft, are reacting to this exact pressure.
And they are taking wildly different paths.
Totally different. Let's start with Apple's adaptation. Bloomberg just verified the biggest leak in Apple's ecosystem since iOS 14. We have the schematics for iOS 27, and they are finally fundamentally fixing Siri.
It is a necessary overhaul. Siri's architecture has felt antiquated for years.
Oh, yeah.
Especially as users' expectations shifted from, you know, just setting simple timers to demanding complex contextual reasoning.
The interface is getting a massive upgrade. Siri is no longer going to take over your entire screen just to tell you it couldn't find a website.
Thank goodness.
I know. It's moving into the dynamic island, dropping down in these fluid, glanceable cards that intercate with whatever app you are currently using. But the more crucial shift is how Apple is handling the back-end processing. They are adopting a really rigid, privacy-first hybrid approach.
Right. They are essentially drawing a hard line between local processing and cloud reliance. For any basic query-like setting alarms, pulling up specific photos, drafting a quick text. iOS 27 relies entirely on Apple's own on-device neural engine.
It doesn't even hit the cloud.
Nope. They are strictly requiring the A17 Pro chip or later for this, meaning the data never leaves the physical hardware in your hand.
But for complex generative tasks, they aren't stubbornly trying to force their own inferior language model on users. They are actually deeply integrating ChatGPT directly into the OS.
But with Apple's flavor of privacy.
Exactly. They are doing it with extreme Apple-style guardrails. The OS will explicitly pause and ask for your permission before routing a complex query to ChatGPT, and the data is heavily anonymized.
It's a very pragmatic admission from Apple. They realize they didn't win the foundational model race, so they are gracefully packaging the winner's technology inside their own fortress of privacy.
And they are leaning into what they actually do best, which is hardware integration. The leak also detailed a new AI camera system that performs real-time scene composition, plus the Apple Watch Ultra 4, which introduces continuous non-invasive blood glucose monitoring.
Which is incredible medical tech.
It is. They are reinforcing their moat by focusing on physical sensors and seamless user experience rather than trying to outcompute Anthropic.
And that is what an elegant adaptation to market pressure looks like.
But then we pivot to Microsoft, and we see what happens when a legacy giant collides with modern pressures instead of adapting to them. We are tracking a major zero-day vulnerability controversy that is just tearing through the cybersecurity world this morning.
The fallout here goes far beyond just a software patch. This is exposing a deep structural flaw in how massive tech corporations handle threat intelligence.
Let's look at the timeline. A security researcher operating under the alias Nightmare Eclipse just publicly dumped exploit code for 6 zero-day vulnerabilities onto GitHub.
And these aren't minor bugs.
Not at all. We are looking at an exploit called Bluehammer, which executes kernel-level manipulation to completely blind Windows Defender, and another one called Ghost Access, which establishes a persistent firmware backdoor that survives even if you literally format your hard drive and reinstall the operating system.
Terrifying stuff.
Nightmare Eclipse claims they submitted these exact vulnerabilities to Microsoft's bug bounty program 3 months ago. Microsoft allegedly ignored the submissions.
Right.
So the researcher published the actual functional exploit weapons on the open internet to force Microsoft's hand. And in response, Microsoft leveraged their corporate ownership of GitHub to instantly ban the researcher's account and scrub the repositories.
This raises an important question, and it's one that touches the absolute core of modern security ethics. We are watching a live collision between the necessity of responsible private disclosure and the demand for public corporate accountability.
I have to ask, though, doesn't Nightmare Eclipse completely lose the moral high ground here?
How do you mean?
Well, by dumping functional kernel-level exploit code on the open internet, aren't they putting millions of everyday enterprise users, hospitals, and governments at immediate risk just to win an argument with a vendor?
That is the cornerstone argument of the anti-disclosure camp.
Mm.
In cybersecurity, the standard protocol is a 90-day embargo. You give the vendor 90 days to develop and push a patch before you publish the methodology.
Makes sense.
Releasing a proof-of-concept weapon before the shield exists is viewed by many as inherently reckless, because malicious state actors and ransomware syndicates are monitoring those exact GitHub repositories waiting to weaponize that code.
And Microsoft is scrambling now, right?
Oh, yeah. They released a statement calling the public disclosure highly irresponsible and confirmed they are scrambling to build patches for the June 2026 update cycle.
Okay, but Nightmare Eclipse actually waited the 90 days. They waited 3 full months. So what is the structural argument defending the researchers' actions?
The defense centers on the concept of bureaucratic inertia. Security advocates argue that giant tech monopolies are often structurally incapable of prioritizing complex, expensive architectural fixes, like patching a kernel-level bypass, unless they're facing an active public relations disaster.
So if there's no fire, they don't move.
Basically, if an independent researcher follows the rules, submits a world-ending vulnerability, and the vendor just buries it in a low-priority ticketing queue for a quarter of a year, the private system has failed.
Because the vulnerability is still out there.
Exactly. From that perspective, the vulnerability already exists in the wild. State actors might already know about it. So the argument is that the only way to actually force a monolithic company to protect its users is to publicly expose the flaw.
And the fact that Microsoft's immediate reaction wasn't to thank the researcher for finding a blind spot, but to use their corporate leverage over GitHub to just silence the researcher? that completely changes the optics. It shifts the narrative from a technical failure to a corporate censorship issue.
It complicates the ecosystem immensely. GitHub is the central nervous system for global open source collaboration.
Right.
If developers believe Microsoft will use the terms of service to selectively ban security researchers who expose flaws in Microsoft's own products, it undermines the trust required for the entire bug bounty ecosystem to function. It's a very messy example of a slow, cautious bureaucracy failing to respond to a rapidly moving threat.
Which acts as a perfect thematic bridge to our final source material for the day, because we just analyze how a slow, secretive bureaucracy creates massive vulnerabilities in software. But last night at Cape Canaveral, we saw what happens when that exact same slow, highly secretive corporate culture is applied to hardware and physics.
Yeah, it resulted in a literal $2.5 billion fireball.
The loss of the Blue Origin New Glenn vehicle during a hot fire test is a catastrophic setback for the entire commercial space sector.
It really is.
The telemetry data is staggering. This happened Thursday, May 28, at roughly 9.04 p.m. Eastern. Blue Origin was conducting an engine cluster test on the pad. The New Glenn is a massive 320-foot orbital launch vehicle.
It's huge.
An anomaly in the BE-4 engine sequence triggered a cascading failure that vaporized the entire rocket, severely damaged the launch pad infrastructure, and destroyed the payload of 48 Amazon LEO communication satellites.
Just gone in seconds.
Yeah. And aerospace analysts are projecting a minimum 18 to 24-month delay to Blue Origin's launch cadence.
And when you look at the broader market context, that delay is devastating. You have to contrast this failure with the reality of their primary competitor, SpaceX.
The numbers are night and day.
Exactly. Currently, SpaceX holds a valuation of roughly $350 billion and is on track to execute 127 orbital launches in 2026 alone.
Wow.
Blue Origin, despite having access to nearly unlimited capital from Jeff Bezos, remains valued around $15 billion, with zero orbital launches to their name.
I was looking at the histories of both companies, and the best way to understand this disparity is to look at software development paradigms applied to rocketry.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
SpaceX operates like an agile DevOps software team. They write code, push to production, watch the rocket explode on the pad, instantly collect a terabyte of real-world telemetry, patch the physical hardware, and launch again a month later. They treat explosions as necessary data acquisition.
Right.
But Blue Origin, on the other hand, operates on a legacy waterfall paradigm. They have spent over two decades in absolute secrecy trying to engineer the perfect, flawless rocket on a whiteboard before ever exposing it to the realities of a launch pad.
This feels like two students. SpaceX is the kid who fails the homework every day, but uses those mistakes to ace the final exam. Blue Origin is the kid who studies in secret for 20 years, refuses to take practice tests, and then completely blanks on the first pop quiz.
That analogy perfectly captures the engineering trap Blue Origin fell into. When you look at the mechanics of the BE-4 engines, they run on methalox, you know, liquid methane and liquid oxygen.
Right.
The thermal dynamics and fluid pressures inside those turbopumps are incredibly complex and chaotic. You cannot perfectly simulate those chaotic variables in a computer model. You absolutely need destructive, real-world flight data to find the edge cases.
You have to push it until it breaks.
Exactly. By creating a corporate culture defined by extreme caution and a fear of public failure, Blue Origin basically deprived its own engineers of the iterative flight data required to build a reliable vehicle.
It is the ultimate irony of playing it too safe. You move at a snail's pace for 20 years, specifically to avoid a public catastrophe. Mm-hmm. And then because you refuse to test the limits early on, you have a massive multi-billion dollar catastrophe anyway.
You suffer the absolute worst of both worlds.
And it leaves the broader telecommunications industry in a highly vulnerable position too. Amazon just lost 48 satellites meant to compete with Starlink. It proves that simply injecting endless capital into a project isn't enough to secure space access. If the organizational culture isn't built for rapid iteration and adaptation, the physics will eventually catch up with you.
So what does this all mean? When you take a step back from the sheer volume of news today, a very distinct through line emerges. The core lesson of May 29, 2026 is that the old playbooks for maintaining dominance are dead. Adaptation is the only currency that matters.
Absolutely.
Anthropic is pushing the AI industry forward by proving that admitting, I don't know, is mathematically more valuable than projecting false confidence. Glean is proving that hyper-focusing on the mechanics of one specific bottleneck, like data retrieval, can outmaneuver the tech monopolies. Apple is sustaining its empire by swallowing its pride and elegantly integrating outside tech into its hardware. While on the other side, Microsoft is fracturing developer trust by relying on bureaucratic leverage, and Blue Origin is quite literally watching decades of secretive caution go up in flames.
The landscape heavily favors those who can rapidly process feedback and adjust their approach. But, you know, as we synthesize these events, there is a subtle, almost invisible implication buried in the data that we really need to sit with.
What's that?
As systems like Claude Opus 4.8 become flawlessly reliable, and tools like Glean hyper-optimize the internal data structures of Fortune 500 companies, we're witnessing the formation of a massive new efficiency gap on a global scale.
How does that efficiency gap play out in the long run?
Well, consider the leverage these specific tools provide. If you are a multinational corporation armed with an honest, hyper-accurate, never-sleeping AI workforce that can retrieve and process decades of corporate data in under 2 seconds, your operational velocity is uncatchable.
Right, it's a whole different playing field.
Exactly. So the lingering question is this. Can emerging markets, independent researchers, and small businesses find a way to leverage this new wave of highly specialized, highly expensive AI? Or are we transitioning out of an era of democratized software and into a permanent, unbridgeable digital divide between the agile mega corporations who own the context graph of the future and everyone else who is left searching in the dark?
That is a staggering question, and it's exactly the kind of lens you need to view these technological leaps through. We aren't just watching tools upgrade, we are watching the global competitive baseline shift in real time.
It really is a lot to process.
It is, and it requires entirely new ways of thinking. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, keep analyzing the mechanics behind the headlines, and we'll see you next time.